Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome aboard, everybody, on a February 29th. Next time I'll say that will be 4 years from now, and I think something like that. All right, I got a lot to talk about, a whole lot to talk about. There's still nothing really going on in baseball except Ian Desmond. So based upon that, let me just talk about something that I've been hearing all over the place. When I say that, even on the morning show on Sirius, people are talking about, and this is basketball, but I just want to get this out, Stephen Curry. And the fabulous way he plays the game. And they were talking about this morning about how the stuff, I'm almost comparing him to Oscar Robertson. Now, Oscar Robertson called in, complaining or making a statement about the NBA. But really, you know what? You can't. The people are saying, who's better, Stephen Curry or Oscar Robertson? Curry's better than Robertson. You know, Oscar Robertson was a 6'5", 235-pound point guard in the 1950s and 60s. And his game was he'd get the ball, he backed the player's defender in with his big fat behind, and then he would turn around and at 6'5", had a 10-foot jump shot, and he was unstoppable. He was a rebounder at that size as well, a triple-double for his career, not just for a season, and that's how he played the game. He backed you in. The name of the game for Stephen Curry is he backs you out. He takes you to the half-court line. So Robertson would take you to the basket, turn around with a jumper. Stephen Curry would take you to the half-court line, shoot a three-pointer, and that's the thing. And as Robertson points out, in those days that he played, this is an Oscar hangover. Everybody's talking about Oscar, so I'll talk about Robertson. In those days, the defense would pick you up on the inbounds pass. Today, they pick you up at the foul line. on the offensive foul line, that is, all right? So a whole different ball game. So don't you ever, when you hear anybody trying to compare Stephen Curry to Oscar Robertson, forget about it. It's just a bunch of baloney. All right, a bunch of baloney. You have to talk about Ian Desmond. So here's the ramifications of Ian Desmond, and we're going to get to a couple of sleepers in a couple. How about Oscar Madison? How about Oscar the Grouch? How about Oscar Minor? You forgot the Wiener. You know, look, Jet 9, do you think Blog Talk Radio chat room will let you write the word Wiener without trying to edit that? Anyway, so here's the Ian Desmond thing. It tells you a couple of things. It tells you, number one, that they're not expecting anything from Josh Hamilton. That's number one. Tells you, number two, that Joey Gallo may not, just ain't ready yet. I mean, they're talking about maybe Beltran playing another year, so that's the other, that's number two, that he's not ready yet, okay? Number three, do you realize how much money this cost the fantastic team from Texas? $8 million for Ian Desmond. Now, remember, for every draft pick, there's a dollar amount that the draft pick must be, that you got to pay for the draft pick. The 19th pick cost them $2 million in a bonus. They don't have to pay that. So the $8 million they paid for Desmond, now they don't have to pay the $2 million for the 19th pick. What do you got? You got a total cost to Texas of about $6 million. Chicken feed, all right? Chicken feed to a guy who turned away $107 million and then turned away a 15.8. Don't you feel sorry for Ian Desmond? Desmond, of course, killed himself last year on May 13th. He was batting .225 with two home runs and seven RBIs. So that was the end of Ian Desmond. And, of course, it's going to teach you now with everybody, you know, running after Dexter Fowler and Ian Desmond now. Remember, next year, and etch this in your kitchen table, next year, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to draft if you're in an early NFBC or something, don't be afraid to draft the free agents that haven't signed yet. Somehow we take the position that free agents who are unsigned should be devalued for some reason. If Ian Desmond was signed a month ago and you were doing your NFBC draft, you'd probably draft him a lot higher. If the same thing with Dexter Fowler, but because they didn't have a team, it doesn't make any sense, okay? Does not make any sense. So remember that for next year. That's on the Ian Desmond. And don't forget that Joey Gallo could be Jurickson Profar. And don't forget the other thing. The best thing about these youngsters, I don't care what happened last year with all these guys, the Correas, the Bryan, all those guys. The best thing that you could do this year with the youngsters coming up is to trade them now for a bundle. That's right. Trade them now. Trade your Joey Gallo. If you know what you could have got for Jurickson Profar a couple of years ago? Pay attention. All right, you know what? They may develop here and there, but their value is now, absolutely now. So let's see. Now that Desmond and Dexter Fowler are gone, let's see, what are the Cubs? Will Texas now make a play for Jonathan Lucroy? I mean, they make a play for Jonathan Lucroy, and I got to tell you something. This Texas team, you know, we don't really get excited about the Texas team, and I don't know why. Is it because we think their pitching staff's a little light? Whoa, you Darvish coming back this year? As we welcome Fantasy Baseball Universe, we welcome Nakahoma, Mark Hammond, Matt Obrist, we welcome Michael, and Psychedelic Pete has just joined us. We welcome you guys into the chat room along with Jet 9, and Greg is here, so we are rocking and rolling, all right? So now, if this ball club really, you know, does what it has to do, and makes a deal for Jonathan Lucroy, what kind of a lineup could Texas produce? A pretty good one. This Texas team, I'll tell you what, man, this Houston team is going to be tough. The Texas team is going to be tough. It's going to be a nice battle out there. The Astros, of course, appear to be loaded. The Angels stink. The Athletics, the Seattle is not too bad. Hey, look, anytime you got Felix Hernandez, Hisashi Iwakuma, and Taiwan Walker, if he emerges this year, he's a big deal. Leonis Martin could help that team as well with a comeback here. Seattle's not going to be a weak team. But this Texas team, if they could replace Robinson Chirinos with Jonathan Lucroy to go along with Fielder, Ruffnet Odor, boy, this could be pretty good. Don't forget, they also signed Drew Stubbs. The Rangers also signed Drew Stubbs as a backup. I love Drew Stubbs. Always loved him when I saw him in the Arizona Fall League. But between Cole Hamels and when Darvish comes back, they could still use another pitcher. Derek Holland could be serviceable. Who knows about Martin Perez and the bullpen? Sean Tolleson's weak. Sam Dyson looked pretty good. But Keon Keela, that's the guy who could really make this team. So it's going to be pretty exciting to see what happens there. And the Cubs on the other side, the Cubs have a bunch of guys, man, they haven't even seen yet. I mean, Billy McKinney, Albert O'Mara, and they got another kid named John Andreoli, who stole over 30 bases last year in Triple A, although not a big player, hit around 275, 280, moderate home runs, but they say he's a tremendous defensive center fielder. They say he's an on-base guy. They say he can run the bases, and, you know, that's not a bad player. McKinney, the kid they got from Oakland, Albert O'Mara is ready to play. So it makes a lot of sense for the Chicago Cubs to go out and get a pretty good pitcher. I mean, let's face it, the Cubs' rotation now on paper certainly doesn't blow you away. Could be serviceable. Nobody expects Arrieta to do what he did last year. Lackey could, you know, maybe he won't do what he did last year. No guarantees. John Lester, but Jason Hamels and Kyle Kendricks could be the weak spot, you know, the weak spot. So they could use another pitcher. By the way, with Kendricks, Kyle Schwarber is going to be the catcher for Kyle Kendricks. Yep, that's right. He's going to be the catcher for Kyle Hendricks. He's going to be his matador, whatever you want to call it. But here are the pitchers that the Cubs could possibly get at some point this season, trading either Solar. I don't think it's going to happen right away. Trading them for Solar or trading them for Javier Baez. I'm talking about Odorizzi, Cobb when he comes back, maybe even Drew Smyly if he can last the season. Sonny Gray looks like it could be a great fit for the Cubs. I imagine Billy Bean and Jed Hoyer and Theo Epstein getting together for a deal. Julio Teheran, his name has been mentioned. Tyson Ross, his name has been mentioned. Could they pry one of the Cleveland pitchers away? Could they pry Carlos Quintana? Or maybe even they could get Chris Sale. That's right. They could maybe get Sale if the White Sox bum out. But here's the deal that they may wind up with. Making it Solar, you know, a Cuban kid, Baez, you know, for Mr. Jose Fernandez. Once the season gets started, if Miami gets off to a bad start, they'll be looking to trade Fernandez. If the Cubs get off to a rocky start, or if they get off to the start that they didn't anticipate, let's put it that way, they could make a deal and bring up Billy McKinney to play outfield or some of these guys I just talked about, or they could trade Baez, they could trade Solar, they could do whatever the hell they want. But think about that. Fernandez could wind up being a Cub. But will the White Sox trade Chris Sale? That's another interesting one. Speaking of the White Sox, Adam Eaton had arthroscopic surgery on his in the offseason. He had a decompressed nerve, but he says there is no way that he's not going to be ready for opening day. So you can etch that in your kitchen table. There's no freaking way I'm not going to be ready for opening day. And that's the quote from you-know-who. All right? That's the quote from Adam Eaton. Okay? No question about it. Now, did I lose the connection here? I wonder. Okay? Just trying to focus in, trying to focus. That's it. Trying to focus, and I'm not sure if I'm doing a good job. So we'll see. I may have somehow disconnected the connection for the chat room. So we'll see. Having a hard time finding it. All right. Anyway, we'll see what we'll see about that. So I'm back in the studio. So hopefully you guys are all still there. If you're not, forgive me. I don't know what I just did, but we'll get you right back. Okay. So here we go. All right. Now the other thing is. I'm going to give you a name. Yeah, we're back. Okay, still all good. You're loud and clear. You can hear me. I just didn't get the chat room going. All right, as we welcome a whole bunch of people into the chat. Brad Perone is here. That's pretty good, Brad. Nice to see you. Keep in mind, etching your kitchen table for you guys looking for a deep sleeper, and I'll be talking about some of the other sleepers in just a minute. Joey Rickard. You have any idea who this guy is? Now, Baltimore lost Dexter Fowler. Baltimore has the history of keeping their Rule 5 picks. Joey Rickard was a Rule 5 pick. He was a star in the Dominican League. He hit around 300 with a 400 on-base percentage, and you know how Baltimore is looking for on-base percentages. So, Brad, if you're still drafting in that deep NFBC league, just Joey Rickard could be maybe your last pick. Not a bad player, so keep an eye on Joey Rickard. I got some information on this guy, Kim, who is going to be playing left field for Baltimore. I didn't know this, but Kim is considered the Cal Ripken of the Korean leagues. Yeah, I had no idea this guy was thought of. By Cal Ripken, I'm talking about his durability and his patience at the plate. His patience at the plate is supposed to be incredible. And, of course, we know that he walks more than he strikes out. But Kim is somebody that has this reputation of being – and he never misses a game. So you want to keep that in mind. And if you're in an on-base percentage league, absolutely. Yovani Gallardo, one of the great things about Gallardo on this Oriole team is he's giving you 30 starts 6 years in a row. And that's pretty good. Keep a note also that Adam Jones has been taking ground balls at first base. Now, they feel that maybe Jones could use a little rest. I love the rest that they give these players. They move him from center field to first base. That's a rest. I love when they give him a rest and they put him as a DH, which means they don't have to walk to their position eight times. That's pretty unbelievable that that's the rest. So Adam Jones taking some ground balls at first. Don't forget Mike Morris taking ground balls at third. Gary Sanchez took ground balls at third. Not much being talked about that. And then finally, something before I get to these sleepers, something that I just don't get. How a team like the Pittsburgh Pirates could even think of alienating Gerrit Cole, one of their stars for many, many years. The Pirates came out and said they made a mistake in calculating his salary. He's in a position now where the Pirates could offer him anything. There's no rules and regulations. And he's making $3,000 less than he made last year. Apparently they included his bonus for making the All-Star team in the salary that he was getting. Or kept it separate or something like that. But he's making I don't know the technical parts. All I know is he's making $3,000 less, and Gerrit Cole is a little ticked off. Wouldn't you be? Wouldn't you be if you were making money, performed up to your expectations or even more, and found out that your salary and your compensation was being reduced? Does that make any sense? Gerrit Cole, that's what's happening to Gerrit Cole. He's not happy. Would anybody be happy if you performed up to your expectations and even further and then found out, well, sorry, but your salary is being reduced? All right, so we'll see what happens there. All right, let's get on to some of the there's a million sleepers. And don't forget, I don't really like to talk about sleepers, but to me a sleeper is somebody whose value far exceeds their value on the field. That is, far exceeds the value at the draft that it costs you. I'm going to take a look at a couple of players. And, of course, I'll say it 100 times, and when it happens, I want you to thank me. Take a look at the Phillies. I mean, this Philadelphia team could be one of the worst teams in baseball, but I don't think they will be, okay? There are there are a few people who think that the Phillies' farm system is pretty good and that they will actually be a pretty good team this year. And I've talked about this guy many times. I've talked about Cesar Hernandez with the ability to steal bases. See, he stole 30 bases in the minor leagues more than once. And Cesar Hernandez had a little over 19 stolen bases, was caught stealing five times. You can pencil him in for 20 to 25 stolen bases, and that's a nice pick. Matt Obrist likes Rickert. Looks like a nice speed on base percent, and he is. But the best thing about him is, Matt, is that this kid Rickert from Baltimore now has a spot to play. Baltimore always keeps their Rule 5 picks, and he is a Rule 5 pick. That means that they can't send him down, and they probably won't return him. So, those kind of guys look pretty good to me. And the other guy, just like that, is Tyler Goodell, who was the first Rule 5 guy taken this year. And that says a whole bunch. Now, Tyler Goodell, you got Aaron Althea, you got Odubel Herrera, who played last year. There's a bunch of guys here for Philadelphia. But Goodell, he had a 76% stolen base rate. He hit around 280 in Double A, hit 12 home runs, stole 28 out of 37 bases. Not bad. So here's a guy who could hit you 15 home runs. He could steal you 25 bases. Boy, does anybody even know who Tyler Goodell is? Another endgame, along with, and I thought Aaron Althea was an endgame pick, but he really is. He's 6'5", 215. He's a 2020 candidate as well. In 137 at-bats, he had five home runs, six stolen bases. That's not terrible, man. He could be a 15-15 guy. And who is he? We don't even know who Aaron Althea. We don't know who Tyler Goodell. We do know Cesar Hernandez as we welcome Donkey Teeth into the chat room. Nice to have you aboard, my boy. So, all right, keep an eye on the Phillies. There's just a ton of Phillies that are just waiting to be plucked, okay? So you want to go pluck a Philly? Be my guest, okay? There's plenty of them. Now, I have told you before that my bold prediction, and by the way, go to the website, LennyMelnickFantasySports.com. If you haven't put your bold prediction, I mean, this is fun. If you have, it's fun. You know what it's fun? It's fun to think about it. I mean, you're in competition now. It's the natural. Jason joins us. How you doing there, kid? So here's the deal. It's fun, right? You know what's fun about it? It's fun to think about it. Think now. Stop for a second. Give me the boldest prediction you can think of. It's just fun to run it through team by team. Let's see. What's going to happen on Atlanta? That can actually happen, but it's like a million to one. I'm going to tell you, and I've told you before, that Joe Mauer is going to retire. I mean, Joe Mauer can't even stand up straight without getting dizzy anymore. These concussions have ruined. He struck out over 100 times. That's not Joe Mauer. Take a look at his ADP. You won't even find him. All right, nobody has any confidence in Mauer. All right, nobody. All right, look, Donkey Teeth and Brad Peron are in the same NFBC league. Boy, that's going to be something. All right, you guys better make me proud. I'll tell you that. You guys better make me proud. All right, Lenny, you like Tampa? Oh, Matt, don't dig in. Listen, I was wrong about Josh Tomlin about that stuff. Remember I got angry? I don't know if you heard me on the air. I ripped into Sussman. I backed off, and he challenged me. I'll give him credit. He challenged me, and you know what? After further review, I was wrong about criticizing. I mean, look, first of all, he was wrong because he doesn't even know why he was wrong, but I do. That team report that I do is a feature, and it should be treated like one. All right, but anyway, no, Sussman did a good job. I made a mistake, and I apologize to Greg, and I apologize because they did talk about him, so it was a valid question. If they knew what they were doing, okay? Unfortunately, there's a couple of things that have to be questioned, but they did, look, they did the right thing. I did apologize, all right? I did, and let's forget it. All right, so anyway, with all that being said about Joe Mauer, you got to draft Max Kepler. I mean, Max Kepler's a first baseman who stole, what, 18 steals in Double-A? Didn't he? 6'4", over 200 pounds. You got to take the position. I know I say that a lot. I'm very technical. I know I say that a lot, but I'm taking the position that's going to hit 15-plus home runs. I'm taking, and for first baseman to steal 18 bases, he's only 22, so they're not going to rush him. But if Mauer peaks out, and I think Mauer's going to retire. All right? All right? I say all right one more time. Somebody notify me, and yeah. So now, yeah, look, he's projected to bat third, and they have a good lineup. But I'm telling you, Matt, I don't think Mauer's going to retire because he wants to. I think he's going to retire because he may have to. And here you got a Kepler kid who looks like he may be ready. And he only played Double-A, so give him a couple of months at Triple-A, and then he comes up. We'll give Mauer a couple of months to feel his way around. Look, if he's got it, he'll stay. But it's an interesting risk to take by taking the spot that Mauer may not stay. Now at first base, I'm pretty – you know, it's pretty interesting when you see that Mike Morris is taking ground balls at third. I mean, who does Pittsburgh have at third base? Who do they have at third base, man? Who do they have? Sean Rodriguez? I don't even know who's playing third base for Pittsburgh. But Josh Bell, a kid that they moved from the outfield to first base, 6'2", 230 pounds, and he can't hit the ball out of the ballpark. Guy's crazy, right? He only had 7 home runs and over 500 plate appearances. But Morris, Joey Gaso, Jason Rogers, those are the first basemen. I wouldn't be surprised. Josh Bell's got a very good strikeout-to-walk rate, very disciplined at the plate. If he could show that he could hit with a little pop, and why not? At 6'3", 230 pounds, yeah, you better hit the ball with a little pop. I really believe that Josh Bell is a player to grab. last couple of rounds of the NFBC. He's probably going to go quicker than that. He's 23. He's ready to go. Gene Segura, that's right, the same Gene Segura that I screwed up on last year. I overpaid for Segura because those 25 steals, and once again, if you're in the auction format and you're keeping track of what you're doing, and if you're saving money, you got $30 on a player and he goes for 25, you got $5 in the bank. If that continues to happen, you got a $15 player who goes for 10, now you got another $5. So now you're sitting there with extra money, and all of a sudden the one guy who makes a difference, who could just give you points by himself, it's usually a stolen base guy. And that was what happened to me, Gene Segura, and I overpaid for him because I wanted the 25 steals, and he didn't very well do a good job. And that's because he can't get on base enough, and he hits about 60% of ground balls. He just hasn't figured it out. But now he's moving to Arizona. Change of scenery, of course. He had some real off-the-field horrible nightmares with his a little boy passing away. So I'm going to give Segura another chance and tell you, if you want a cheap 20 stolen bases, Fantasy Baseball Universe likes Gene Segura as well in Arizona, and they're trying to get him to lead off so that A.J. Pollock could hit in the middle of the order. So watch it in the spring. When you look at the box scores, you got to check out Gene Segura, and you got to take a look and see what happens, okay? Now, if you're in the NFBC, and I know I was going to call you Donkey Kong. Donkey Teeth and Brad are in there. I don't know if anybody else is doing an NFBC, but it's 50 rounds. You can't trade. You can't pick up players. Are you taking the position that you're drafting a player and then handcuffing him like we do in football? I know that NFL players deserve to be handcuffed. I mean, there's so much shit going on in the NFL. They all should be handcuffed. But I'm talking about in terms of fantasy baseball. Will you draft Jock Peterson and then take, in the end game, somebody that probably wouldn't be drafted, but you can't pick him up if he's not drafted, and that's Trace Thompson. That's the handcuff. I think Trace Thompson is a better athlete than most people understand. His strikeout rate is pretty good. He makes pretty good contact. He's a terrific athlete who showed Michael Johnson a little pop last year. I know Michael likes him a lot. But do you handcuff players in the NFBC? Is that a good idea? I think it is. I know Andrea she waited a long time for a closer with the idea of getting three or four closers. And she took Ziegler, who's a good pick if you have confidence that he will remain as the closer. But if he doesn't, it could go to Tyler Clippard. So if you take the position that if I'm drafting Ziegler, I'm going to take Clippard. So that's the handcuff there, Tyler Clippard. So is Trace Thompson the handcuff to Jock Peterson? I'll tell you, we're going to do something up on the site in a couple of days. We're going to talk about players to handcuff. There are certain players to handcuff. By the way, we're heading out to Arizona on Wednesday. Yeah, we'll do the podcast Wednesday. We're heading out in the afternoon. So we'll do the podcast. We're going to be out in Phoenix doing the labor draft on Saturday. One of those nights I'll be broadcasting the AL. I'll be participating in the NL. And finally, the guy I've been talking about all for the last couple of months, that would be Lonnie Chisenhall. He was hitting 209 at the end of June. They sent him down. You know the story. One of the things that made him uncomfortable was playing third base. So the move to right field, that could be a big deal. Second half, he did well, although he had a very high batting average with balls in play. It was about .350. But still, I like Chisenhall. I like the way I love the way he looks. Yes, I do. I like the way Psychedelic Pete looks also. So that's my problem. But Chisenhall, I think, for the value, is going to be an excellent pick, especially if you're in a very deep league. So there you go. That's everything I got for you today. I want to thank you all for showing up today. Now, listen, if you can, please head over to the website. A lot of questions. And you guys, here's what we're doing. I'm not answering all the questions by myself. I have so much. People want to hear from Brad and Donkey Teeth. You guys have been putting in Greg and Michael and Jet. answer some of the questions. You guys are pretty damn good, man. And some of the people, we got around 300 people now at the site, and I promised them that the Matt Obrist and the Jasons and the Gregs, all you guys would participate by, you know, giving your opinion. So if you don't mind, please do that, and we'll see you again tomorrow, everybody. Thanks for being here. Appreciate it.